Well, it's an honor for me to be here. Thank you, Pastor Dave and Claremore Assembly, for honoring our veterans today. And my fellow veterans that are here, thank you for your service from all branches of service. And it's an honor for me to be here. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, I pray these next few moments, as we share stories, as we share experiences together, as my prayer, Lord, that many of our veterans will resonate with some of the things that I will share, as well as our congregation here. For Lord, we are so thankful that not only the freedom that we enjoy as serving today our country was paid by the price of ultimate price in many of the cases, the ultimate price of giving one's life. Jesus Christ gave his life for us, that we would be free from sin. And we're here today not only to honor, of course, veterans, but we're here today to worship Jesus and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ, without him, that we would be shackled in the chains of sin, and we too, our life, would be destroyed. Lord, Brother Rex has already shared with us today how Jesus saved literally his life. And I'm sure that there are many across the congregation that could share the same story, how Christ has saved and set them free from things in their life. And Lord, I'm so thankful that that freedom in Christ isn't just a one-time event, but that every day we can experience the power and the love and healing of Jesus Christ in our life. And Lord, we give you praise that in the next few minutes, that it would not be my words, but Lord, but yours. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. On behalf of the Chaplaincy Department, the Assemblies of God, Dr. Manny Cordero, who is our director, and Chaplain Scott McChrystal, who is our military endorser, they welcome you and they love you, and I am here on their behalf, and I'm so thankful to be here. Pastor, God bless you once again, and thank you for the invitation. I'm really honored. Today we have the legacy of our veterans that we're honoring, both past and present. Representing all the facets of our nation, from all walks of life, from the rural farm to the city, from World War II to Korea to Vietnam, to even places perhaps like Grenada or Panama, the first Gulf War, Somalia, places such as Haiti, the Sinai, in Lebanon and Iraq and Afghanistan, the Horn of Africa, and I could go on and on naming all the countries that many of you have already served. The Cold War in Europe and Germany, which ultimately culminated in the wall coming down. From the sweltering humidity of the jungles of perhaps even Burma or Vietnam, the desert sands of the Middle East, or even the frozen tundra of the chosen tundra of Korea. In terrible winters of the Battle of the Bulge, the national cemeteries across, as I walked in, the reminder of those who sacrificed, those who are buried sometimes in foreign cemeteries. One thing that is clear, America does not forget them. If you've walked the grounds of Normandy or those in Belgium and Luxembourg, they are so neatly manicured and taken care of, because it says again that we will not forget that legacy of sacrifice they gave will not be forgotten. You may remember the scene of the movie, perhaps, that Tom Hanks was in. It was about the invasion of Normandy, their movement from the Normandy beaches into the interior of Germany. And it shows in the opening scene a man in his 80s. He's walking very haltily, one step at a time, towards the cemetery in Normandy, lined with white crosses. As he approaches, he kneels down with tears in his eyes, already weeping. And I know that I'm probably paraphrasing, but he basically says, I hope I was worthy. I hope I was worthy. And what he really meant was that he knelt at the grave of the captain that had saved his life. And his prayer was, and his hope was, that he said, this life that you gave me, I hope I lived a life of legacy worthy of the sacrifice that you gave for me. You know, as veterans, we ask that question sometimes, especially those that don't come home. We ask the question, why me? Why me? Why was it that my buddy didn't make it and I did? And perhaps this particular soldier had the same feeling. And the question I would ask before us today, just like the question in this movie, was what is the legacy that you and I want to leave in our life as well? The question today is like the writer of Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter in the first verse. That I'll simply read one verse. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, you'll find it in many days hence. What is it that perhaps in your life that you're leaving, that casting that bread, that legacy in your life that you want to leave? Is it a legacy of sacrificial love in Christ? Is it a legacy of faith? A legacy of faith in your family and your grandchildren? Your daughters and sons, what is it, your legacy of faith? Is it the legacy of the sacrifice of Christ and the cross? Is it also a legacy of hope and healing and forgiveness? The scripture says that Christ taught us no greater love as man to lay down his life for his friends. And I could go on, of course, in sharing with you so many illustrations of that taking place and across the battlefields of all of the combat zones in the time from World War II to present. But there's one that sticks out to me. There were four chaplains lined up. They were on a ship. And they were holding hands together, actually locking arms together, and they didn't have life preservers. Their ship had just been hit in the early mornings of the hour. And they were singing hymns as they were giving their life preservers to the other sailors so that they could live. As they were singing and the ship was sinking rather fast, they were singing hymns together, and they all came from different walks of faith. And yet it was one thing that brought them together, and that was their sacrifice and their love for their fellow man. No greater love hath one to give his life for his friend. So acts of courage and acts of faith, legacy of faith. I had the privilege of serving with one of only a few that actually escaped from a Vietnam POW camp. He was a colonel at that time, and I was just a young captain. And I invited him to come and speak. His name was Colonel Nick Rowe. In fact, they named a course of survival after him at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He served 5 years in a POW camp and was eventually able to escape. And during years of torture, and I asked him at the end of the prayer breakfast that he shared some words. I said, what was it that defined courage? What does it mean to have courage? And I'll never forget these words. He said, courage is not about the absence of fear, or the presence of fear, I should say. But he said, courage is about the presence of faith. And he said this over and over and over, and I've heard this for others who were POWs, that it was the one thing that got them through was their faith. You may have heard stories about how precious the Word of God was for some of those that were in solitary confinement. It was so precious that they would take ashes from a cigarette butt and they would actually write scriptures that they could remember on one little paper they had. They would tap on the walls to each other scriptures and verses that they could remember. They would even tap out songs that they had sung in worship to get them through those years of solitary confinement. The legacy of faith. What is your legacy? What is it that you would like to leave for your family and for your children? If a picture of his 1,000 words, the centurion that stood at the feet of Jesus, who had seen numerous criminals die a horrible death, but yet the centurion saw that there was something different about this one who was hanging on the cross, who had claimed to be the king of the Jews. He had never heard a word preached, perhaps had not even seen him before. He never witnessed Jesus stilling the wind or touching those and healing them. But when the centurion saw this man and how he died, this man of God, who said the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The centurion said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." Sometimes our legacy of faith, even in the midst of suffering, and perhaps it was this that moved the centurion. It was how Jesus handled perhaps the suffering and the pain. Our legacy of faith. Send us now, our Lord, into the world and help us, O Father, our legacy of faith. The story in Bosnia, which we don't really hear too much about, if you read accounts, there were a lot of atrocities, mass massacres during that time. When we finally went in and we offered assistance, they sent a team of nurses. These nurses went into a city where they would gather up the children. The children had no food. Their parents were killed. They basically were living off the streets. They were literally starving to death. So they'd bring these children in, and they were feeding them 3 meals a day. And they were doing everything they could to try to calm they were so scared. And the nurse, one army nurse, gave an account that these children would cry every night before they would go to bed. They tried everything to hold them, to comfort them, to rock them to sleep. Nothing worked. And then one day, a nurse came up with an idea. She said, "Let's take a piece of bread and place it in their hand." And so they did that. They said, "Well, we've tried everything else." And they took this bread and they placed it in their hand, and they waited to see if the children would cry that evening. And it was total silence. You see, the children were afraid that they wouldn't get another meal. They didn't know that they were being fed 3 meals a day. They were afraid that the next meal may not come. And yet, as long as they had that piece of bread, they knew that they had something to eat. You see, Jesus said that I'm the bread of life. And when you think about it, every time you share the message of Jesus Christ with others in this legacy of faith, you're also sharing the bread of life to them as well. You're sharing them the bread of life. Christ is our bread of life. And I encourage you to share as your legacy of faith the bread of life to others as well. One of the things I'll never forget as a chaplain is that no matter where I was deployed or where I was at, whether in a combat zone or whether we were training, I remember that one of the things that was most important to a soldier when they came to the service was taking communion. There's something powerful about giving them communion and sharing the body and blood of Christ. And I'm reminded, talking to a Vietnam veteran, a chaplain friend of mine that I served with, and he said that no one got on the chopper. No one got on the chopper until each one of them, he had given them communion. And he always said that one of them, or maybe two, would not return. And that was the last time that the chaplain had a chance to see that particular soldier. And it was that power, the power of Christ in communion, that gave that symbol of that soldier the courage and the valor to go forward into battle. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, they shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give unto you is, of course, my bread, the bread of life." I was deployed in Christmas Eve, I remember, never forget it, in the jungles of Panama. And there's something that being deployed in a combat zone during Christmas, I think, is the toughest. And we were kind of gathered around us, some infantry guys, you know, a small group of infantry, and disheartened. Kind of, we were all dirty, filthy. And we took this camouflage and made like a makeshift Christmas tree. And we had this little bitty generator that we'd brought with us and fired up that generator and put some Christmas lights on it. Pretty cool, out in the middle of the jungle of Panama. Not very good for sound discipline, right, Rex? But oh well, Christmas Eve. And I'll never forget that when we got to communion and the service, these guys that were dirty and filthy, hardened, tears were running down their face. And I realized at that point that Christ was in our presence. Christ was there. And that my family, who was thousands of miles away, a different time zone, they were celebrating Christmas Eve as well. The legacy of faith. But also there's a legacy of the community of the body of Christ. And I'm reminded of this story that brings us so well, because we need each other, don't we? We need to be locked arm in arm as the body of Christ. We can't go it alone. We need to shore up and help one another, to bear each other's burdens, to heal and to heal together. But I'm reminded of this story from World War II and the Bataan March. You remember the story. They marched 60 miles through mountainous terrain with no water, probably 100% humidity, with Japanese that were ready to spear and bayonet and shoot anyone that fell out. There were hundreds that fell out and died along that route. But one of the things that they did that the Japanese did not notice was that they had to march in rows. And those that were the weaker, that they were starting to fall out, those that were about to pass out from the heat and lack of water and food, they would kind of, without the Japanese noticing, they would put them in the middle of the formation. And the formation would close in, and they literally would support those that were weak to help them to keep going. They saved their lives. And you see, that's what the body of Christ is about, is closing ranks And what I mean by that, not allowing anybody in, but what I mean is holding each other up in the body of Christ, to supporting one another and praying for one another. That's also, I think, a legacy that we want to leave. The last thing I'd like to share is a legacy of healing and giving of hope. Rex mentioned it in his message, how that we offer hope that no one else can. I'm sorry, my brother works for the VA, and my dad, who's a World War II veteran, 89 years old, served in the Navy, was at the Battle of Okinawa, the Guadalcanal. And the VA takes wonderful care of him. He was just in the hospital a few weeks ago. And so I'm thankful for our hospital system, I am. And my experience has been that they really love our veterans and take care of them, even though they've gotten, I think, some bad press. But I would say this, though, that healing doesn't necessarily take place by just giving more drugs. And sometimes our veterans that are coming home now from Iraq and Afghanistan and others, you know, the answer sometimes is just give them more medication. We all know that that's not going to work. They either become addicted to it, they don't get any better. But for us, the healing is in Jesus Christ. The healing is the healing of their memories, the healing of their hurts, the healing of their pain, the healing of whatever it is. We know that Jesus Christ can transform us and heal our minds, heal our soul, and heal our spirit. And also, he can help us to forgive. To help us to forgive. To even forgive those who are enemies. There's a woman that you may have read about. She was in the news. In fact, Rex and I, we were talking about her. It was where a little girl's running after a napalm attack. In fact, she's now undergoing the latest, I guess, in laser surgery to heal the pain and the scars. But it was a picture from Vietnam where she was running from a napalm and literally running with no clothes on. She was about, I guess, Rex, 10 years old. She's now a wonderful Christian and mother. But one particular story I remember she shared was that she was at an event, I think, in fact, it might have been at the Wall of Vietnam in Washington, D.C., she was speaking. And a veteran came up that was a pilot, just weeping and crying. And he walked up and asked for forgiveness to her. And she said she wrapped her arms around this veteran, and they both wept together. And what a fantastic healing moment that was for that veteran. Probably had been carrying stuff around for years, but that one hug by her, who had been terribly burned, that hug brought him forgiveness. So healing and forgiveness. I went to Korea and served up by the DMZ. And they said, "Chaplain, we've got a road march. It's called the Manchu Mile." I go, "Hey, I can do a mile." It was 25 miles. They failed to tell me that. But it was a march that basically was commemorating a unit that had marched 25 miles, and they went directly into combat. And so we started. I was carrying about 45, 50 pounds. And if you've ever been to Korea or seen Korea or watched MASH, I mean, it is hilly. Woo! All kinds of mountains up and down. And I remember we started at night, and basically you road march all night. And my feet were killing me. But once in a while, the commander would let us stop and take a break. And we call it the rucksack flop. I was so happy to get that rucksack off my shoulders for even just a moment and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So, and I don't think that's what it was. But anyway, it was great to be able to do that. And I say that because even as Christians, we carry rucksacks around with us. In fact, we load the rucksack up. We put more stuff in it. We carry things around with us as Christians, either memories, unforgiveness, hurt feelings. And we put more and more in our rucksack. And Jesus calls us to kind of let go of that. Jesus calls us to give that to Him, to lay your burden to Him, to lay it at the foot of the cross, and to leave it there and not pick it back up again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, bitter words and sarcasm wasn't enough when they tortured Jesus. They shamed Him as a criminal. They nailed Him to the cross. The crowns that pierced His brow. But they hurled insults at Him. It wasn't enough to torture Him physically. They tortured Him mentally. Verbal stones to hurt and to bruise. And we have people here, you've been the victim of that as well. For some veterans, coming home was not a parade, was not a joyous experience, but you were in called names, insults. I remember even in the early 70s, Vietnam was winding down. I had my uniform on, walking in New York City, and people tried to spit on me because I was wearing a uniform. That's why I'm so thankful, Pastor, for days like today that you honor our veterans. But there are scars. We've talked about the Purple Heart. And there are visible scars, but I would share with you that there are scars that veterans carry that we cannot see. Scars in their memory, in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit. Because you cannot go into a combat zone and not be affected. And that's what Jesus brings to us today. Is He brings to us His life, who is the bread of life and the water of life, and He also heals us. He heals us, our soul. He heals our heart and our mind and our spirit. Because He stands ready to forgive us and to help us to move on with our life. So what I'd like to do in closing is this. If it's possible. I want to say healing a prayer for you. And I'd like for us to just bow our heads right now in prayer. If you're a veteran and you've been carrying some things in your heart and your soul, whether it's your memories, the experience you had, if you need the healing of Christ right now, and you'd like for me to pray for you, I'd like for you just to raise your hand. With no one looking around, is there anyone that needs prayer in that? Anybody at all that needs prayer? If you're sitting here and you're not a veteran, and there's something that you're dealing with where the Lord really needs to heal you, to heal your heart and soul or spirit. Maybe you're harboring something against someone else. I don't know. Maybe you're carrying something. Maybe your rucksack needs a little bit lightened. If you'd like me to pray for you, anyone, if you could raise your hand, anyone at all? Okay. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a Savior that loves us so much that you gave your life for us. That we could be free from the chains of sin. That, Lord, that not only that, but we could experience your presence every day. But, Lord, more important than that, that we can experience your healing every day. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here in this congregation, our veterans, everyone that's here. I ask your Lord that you would touch them. If they're carrying, Lord, something from the past, I just pray, Lord, that you would set them free. Lord, if they're even harboring any unforgiveness in their heart or they need to go to someone, Lord, I just pray that you would just fill them with your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. To Lord, minister healing to them. If they need to go to someone else, Lord, and perhaps they're going to be an agent of healing for somebody else, we pray, Lord, that you'd guide them now by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that have family here, that perhaps their loved one have experienced the ultimate sacrifice of giving their life for their country, I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to them as well. And Lord, for our veterans that are both past and present and those that are coming now and those that are deployed even now in Afghanistan, I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch their families, minister to them, Lord. May your loving arms wrap around them. And Lord, minister to our veterans. Help us, Lord, to find ways like Pastor Dave, what he's doing today, to honor our veterans. And dear Lord, to reach out to them, to minister to them that are hurting, because they really need to hear the message of Jesus in their life. And Lord, there are those that have come home without limbs that need the rebuilding of their lives. But Lord, also there are those that are scarred mentally that need your healing. And Lord, I thank you for this tremendous church that have honored veterans this day. And I know that this church not only does it on one day, but I believe they do it every day to honor veterans and reach out to them. And I'm so thankful. And they also reach out to this tremendous community. And Lord, I just give you praise in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen and amen.